Well, I wanted this morning to share with you a little bit about what's going on here over the last couple of weeks. A couple of events in particular. It was a couple of weeks ago when I wasn't here. I had the amazing privilege of being with our youth at a retreat in Living Springs Camp, about 2 hours away. Last week, I was a part of a bunch of people that went to help with an organization called Kids Against Hunger. So we're going to see a movie in a little bit, just some pictures and slides about those two events in them. And I want you to just, we're going to talk mostly about the winter retreat, but I included the Kids Against Hunger slides as well, because that was a really fun event as well. And it was a great chance to come together in service, to do something very simple that we knew would affect a lot of people. And one of the last slides on there says something, and I realize it's hard to read. It didn't come out as well as I had hoped. But basically, there were 24 people. There were $720 that were raised by different groups, by people that have gathered here, as well as our United Methodist women and United Methodist men. And because of that, and because of the hour that we put in, there was 2,880 meals that were shared and shipped somewhere in the world to people that needed them. Could be local, it could be worldwide. But they were good, healthy, not terribly tasting meals. I mean, we got to taste a sample of them. It actually could be cooked into a pretty good little oatmeal kind of stuff that was packed with protein and nutrition and all sorts of things. So these are just two of the things that have gone on here at Riverside over the last few weeks. And so I wanted to share with you a little bit about that. So go ahead, Steve. We can watch.
It seems as though not long ago when I was just a kid, I never had to agonize about each thing I did. But now there are so many voices calling out my name, it's enough to make me wonder whose life is it anyway. 'Cause the boss man says you should be working longer hours, and the in crowd says better try a puff of these, and the war man says come and offer up your body. Juggling the knives and the fire, help me to choose what I'm gonna live for, so I will find my life still mine, and I am yours. She's always been a nice girl, always done the best she could. She goes to church, she plays the flute, her grades are mostly good. But when the day is over and her back's still to the wall, she gets the sinking feeling that she'll never please them all. 'Cause her head coach says, give me all or give me nothing. And her mother says, you should spend more time at home. And her boyfriend says, you could show me that you love me alone. Oh, and she prays, Holy One, hold my hand as I walk out on this wire, trying to balance while juggling the knives and the fire. Help me to choose what I'm gonna live for, so I will find my life still mine, and I am yours. And the TV says money's still the only answer, and the preacher says ours is still the only way, and the cover girl whispers, shouldn't you be thinner like me? Oh, so holy one, hold my hand as I walk out on this wire, trying to balance while juggling the knives and the fire. Help me to choose what I'm gonna live for, so I will find my life still mine. And I am yours. A prayer like a wide river, it never ends, does not begin. Around the world it's always flowing, and I am stepping in, we are stepping in, we are praying in distant places, different languages and faces, every hour of the day. And we are praying with enemies and strangers, in gratitude, in danger, calling God's 10,000 names. There is a prayer like a wide river, it never ends, does not begin. Around the world it's always flowing, and I am stepping in, we are stepping in, we are praying with those who've gone before us, that great ancestral chorus we are joining as we sing.
Like I said, that doesn't happen without this. Without this time of worship, without this time to come together and refill and refuel and give of ourselves and inspire and transform. So thank you. That doesn't happen without the United Methodist men, without the United Methodist women, without individuals and their generosity. They gave their time, they gave of their money, they gave of their hearts, that support us in prayer and lift us up at all times and all places, and we are so grateful. But we gather here in this time of worship, and I reflect on that time of retreat and how powerful it was and what a great time it was to be able to be with the kids and other adults, and it was such a wonderful couple of days. And it was filled, like I showed you in the pictures. You know, there was time for personal reflection where each of them, you know, had some time to just sit with some guided questions and some scripture, to write in a journal, to pray on their own, to go out into the wilderness a little bit, although that didn't last long because it was really cold that weekend. And it was like 50 the day before we left, and it was like 2 the day we were there, but such is this winter, I guess. There was group time when we were able to come together and reflect on our lives, reflect on our time, our life, you know, sort of highs and lows, to think about putting our crest in a picture, thinking about the things that, the priorities in our lives, and then sharing those things with one another, sharing, you know, important events in our lives and people and times and events. There was time to talk about who we were as God, to see in those timelines and to see in our discussion how God was with us during those times, during the hard times and the great times. To talk about who we are as a group, who we could be as a group, as a church, and as a Riverside Youth in particular. One of the things that they created was that crest, and I kind of held that slide a little bit longer, and that was that wasn't done quickly. That was done over several hours. I'm not even sure how much. A couple different discussions, a lot of brainstorming, a lot of ideas, a lot of notes, a lot of scratching out, torn off pages, and what about this? And it's actually hanging out in the hallway here, and I invite you to, if you can, to take a look at it, you know, afterwards, to really look at it, because everything on there means something. To the finest details, one of the squares in the cross is a table, and even the things that are on that table have meaning. We talked about what went on that table and why a table. The fact that it's round was important. You know, I mean, everything. The thing is full of symbolism and discussion. And it captured what we want to be. And then we talked a little bit more about sort of a motto. And I sort of joking around like a little Twitter handle, because we are, you know, youth. And, well, they are youth, and I was there and know about that kind of stuff. And we came up with a model, and it was designed around the theme of the whole retreat. But they sort of claimed it as their own, and this idea to be you, be God's, and be Riverside Youth. And to use that as a sort of motto, as a tagline, you might say, as a definer of what we are, what we want to be, to be God's, to be you, to be God's and to be Riverside Youth, to be you, be God's, B-R-Y, we said sometimes. Then at the end of the weekend, after things were put away and floors had been swept and packing sleeping bags had been rolled and before we left, we got together one last time and we shared the scripture from Jeremiah. And at the time, I don't think I even made the connection of what Jeremiah was talking about in that model that we created. I didn't make the connection at the time. That's happened since as I've thought more about what that was, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. But in that time, we talked about that this retreat time is important, and it was wonderful, and we got a lot done. We had some reflection. We had some growth. We had great discussion. We laughed a lot. We laughed a lot, really hard a few times. And we rock climbed, and how great that was. And every single one of us touched that ceiling, and how cool that was. And it was high. We got a couple nicknames. Spider Monkey was somebody who shot up to that ceiling, like, really quick. We chanted, we supported one another, we cheered, we started chanting when Greta was going up. You know, the youth praise team is Our Mighty God, you know, OMG. And as Greta started climbing, they started chanting Our Mighty Greta, which was pretty funny. And she made it a couple different times. Even she was the first one to do the really hard one. And all of that was so great, and it was wonderful, but I reminded them at the end that if we go home and that's all it was, then it wasn't quite enough. Because the reason you go to retreat is to be changed, is to take it home with you. To leave these doors, to leave this place of seclusion, this wonderful time where we could be together, but to go home and have it be a part of who you are and how you interact with people, and to claim that you be you at all times, in all places, to be sincerely and authentically you, and to keep reflecting on what it means to be who you are, what it means to be God's, to be claimed by God, to say, I'm following God, and God I belong to God, and God is in my heart, and Christ is a part of my life, and what that means at all times, at all places, what it means to be a group, to take that out. And the reason I picked Jeremiah, this text, was because of this, this phrase of God calling Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, you know, responding, no, you can't. I can't do this, God. I couldn't possibly because I'm too young. And I hope that idea would resonate with him, because God, what does God say to Jeremiah? Don't say you're too young. You're not too young. You can go out and change the world right now. I'm with you. You can do it. You can be change. It doesn't matter how young or old you are. Don't say you're too young. And I hope that resonated with them in that moment. But as I've reflected more and more on that, I see more about how they, this motto that they came up with, to be you, to be God's, to be Riverside Youth, applies so much to what Jeremiah did, what happened in this exchange between God and Jeremiah. Because Jeremiah was quick to make excuses. When God called him to go out into the world and make a difference, to make a change, to speak the word of God, to stand up to powers, to the powerful and to the rich and to the governments and the kings and the religious leaders, to stand up to them. And Jeremiah said, whoa, I can't possibly do that. He was quick with an excuse, even though God was giving him away. What does God respond? He reminds Jeremiah of who he is. Be you, Jeremiah. I created you for this purpose. I created you. I knew you. I set you apart. I made you, God says to Jeremiah. So don't tell me you're too young. I made you. You think too young is anything for me? Be you who you were created to be, Jeremiah. Be God's. Be mine. Part of who you are is mine. And when you go and do this work, it's going to be hard. But I'm going to be with you. I've claimed you as my prophet. I've claimed you as mine, and I'm going to be with you. This isn't your work you're going to do. This is my work. So don't let anything stand in your way. Don't be afraid of what they might throw at you. Don't be afraid of the threats they might cast. You're going to be reviled. And Jeremiah, as he grew up and he spoke the truth in God, of God's word, as he went out and told the people to remember, he told the people to remember who they were. And see, it was so much a part of what Jeremiah's message was, going to the Israelites and saying, remember who you are. You are God's people. You're not Baal's people. You're God's people. Stop building these false idols. Stop putting up these statues to other gods that are meaningless and are shambles. Stop treating people like dirt. Stop oppressing the widows and the orphans. Stop it. Remember who you are. You are God's people. You are blessed to be a blessing. And this is Jeremiah's message over and over, and he spoke this to power, and he spoke it to those that didn't want to hear it. And he was reviled for it. And he was mocked for it, and he was betrayed for it, and he was beaten up for it, and he was imprisoned for it. And he had a death penalty at one point over it. This was not an easy road that Jeremiah faced. Doing God's work seldom is. But God didn't promise Jeremiah ease. God promised him peace. He promised him his presence. He reminded Jeremiah of whose he was. Be you, God says to Jeremiah, and reminds him that you're mine. And I've thought how prophetic young people can be sometimes. That this motto of be you, be God's, Be Riverside Youth. It's something we could all claim. Because being called by God is not the privilege of a few. Being called into God's ministry is not about the ordained. It's about the baptized. Being called into God's ministry is for all who call Christ theirs, who call themselves Christian, who claim that name as Christian, then are called to do more, to be transformed. And to be a part of God's work in this world. God is calling. God is speaking today. God's calling you to be you. To be who God created you to be. See, there's a lot of stories, a lot of descriptors people use, a lot of ways we can define ourselves, and all too often we define ourselves by who we're not. I'm not old enough, Jeremiah said. I'm too young. I'm not strong enough. I don't speak well enough, Moses once said. How could this be, Mary said. I'm just a peasant girl that's never known a man. How could this be? I'm not educated enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not qualified enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not smart enough. It's all lies. It's all lies. But all too often we believe them. It's so easy to buy into these excuses, to make these excuses and say, no, I can't do it. When God is saying you are called right here and right now with all your experiences, all the troubles that you've had, all the highs and lows in your life have brought you to this place. Who you are with the gifts that I've given you, with the talents you have, the friends you have, the family you have, the support you have, whatever it might be, whatever baggage you're claiming, it's all part of God's gift to you right now to be you, to be who you truly are. To tune out the lies, to let go of all the obstacles, and to be you. Because you are God's. And to hear these words, I created you, God said. I knew you. I set you apart. I made you. I've called you into this world. To be you. And to be God's. So what does that mean to be God's? To devote yourself to loving God, to loving God and neighbor. To devote yourself to loving God with your whole heart, with your whole mind, with your whole strength. What does it mean to be God? To be devoted to a God that calls you out of sin, that calls you out of slavery, that calls you out of all the messes in your life, that lifts you up out of all this and dusts you off and says, this is my beloved. What does it mean to be devoted to a God whose steadfast love endures forever? To come to worship, and not just to be at worship, but to be present at worship. To be fully present. To be open to the Spirit moving within you. To be open to the Spirit that's speaking in this place, that's moving among the communion of believers and the great cloud of witnesses. To be present with God when you go home. To wake up each morning and take a breath and say, thank you, God, for this breath. To sit down at a meal and say, thank you, God, for this food. to meet a stranger and offer kindness, not because you want to get something out of it, but because you know you were first loved. To show generosity at all times and all places to those that couldn't necessarily do anything for you. To love God, to worship God, not just here in this place, but to worship God with your life. To be a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. To be God's. To know that being God's is hard sometimes. That there's words that you're called to speak that you don't want to speak. There's places you're called to go that you don't want to go. There's forgiveness that you need to offer that you don't want to. There's shame that you're called to let go of, but for some reason still cling to. There's a neighbor that needs a friend, a stranger that needs a hand. A young person that needs a mentor. It's not always easy. And if you try to do it on your own, it's going to be almost impossible. Because this is God's work. To try to do it on your own, to think that I'm going to do enough and I'm going to do and I'm going to do and somehow I'm going to change the world, that's another idol that we so often put up. But being God's, being devoted to God, is understanding that you're in this with God. That those words to Jeremiah, I'm with you. I'm putting the words in your mouth. I appoint you, I anoint you to do my work in the world. It's not about our own strength. It's not about our own talents. It's not about the excuses we might make. It's about our God who shows us the way to be faithful through it all, to be faithful through the destruction and through the exile and through the hard times, through the sickness and disease, to be faithful through the struggle. And to hear God calling on your heart. And there's a lot of ways that you might be being called, being led. Maybe you're being led to a deeper relationship with God through Bible study or prayer. And this Lent is a great time to respond to that call because there's new groups being formed. Maybe you're being called to serve food, to cook, to help with the community dinner. Maybe you're being called to reach out to someone lonely, an older person that can't get out of the house anymore and just needs someone to talk to, and you can be a part of the flock and meet tomorrow night and go out and just be a friend to somebody and soak up the wisdom of someone that's been through more than I have, certainly. Maybe you're being called to be the church. See, and that's the last one. To be Riverside. To be the church. That church planted by the river. The church planted next to the flowing stream. How beautiful is that to say we are the church by the river. By the living breath, the living water, the source of life. That when we come here, we can be a part of it. To be a part of hospitality. To be a part of joy, to be a part of seeing kids raised up in a beautiful and powerful way, to be a part of generosity and kindred spirits, People that don't always agree all the time, but treat each other with respect and have a sight of the mission of what it means to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, to be the church not only when we walk into this place, but especially when we walk out of this place. And we go across the street and up the hill, and we enter Willard School, and we offer lunch to teachers, or we volunteer with a child and read to them, or we go down the street and go to the wardrobe and fold clothes and talk to some people that are in need, or we go downstairs and serve food to people that are hungry, or you go and you get in a van and you go to Redbird Mission this October. And you gather with people across the Quad Cities, and you go and you work for a week with people that are stuck in a cycle of poverty. You can be a part of that. It's going this October, and there's still time to be a part of that. Maybe you want to get in a van and go down to Harrisburg and come with some youth and adults and have a week of work and worship and transformation, because Harrisburg is a place not far from some real poverty-stricken areas, a place that hit a tornado last year, killed 6 people and destroyed most of the town. And to be a part of a mission blitz there, where people, youth and adults, are coming from all across the conference and staying at a church camp, a United Methodist church camp there, and going out with that cross and flame, to going out with the Holy Spirit, and going out with the love of God to say to somebody, we care about you and we want to help somehow. Maybe God's calling you. I don't know how God's calling you today. But if you want to know about any of those things, talk to me, talk to somebody. There's brochures in the back about the 2 mission trips. Take one, because even if you can't go on the trip, there's other ways you can help. Just like those people that went on those trips, you might not have been there in body, but you were there in spirit. We couldn't have been there without you. Be you. Be who God created you to be. Full of talents and gifts. Be God's. Claim Christ as your own. Claim Christ as your Savior, the one who died for you and rose for you. Be the church. Be the church here. And be the church out there. Man, young people have some good ideas every once in a while, don't they? Man. Be you, be God's, be Riverside. So I invite you to listen. God calls many ways. God calls in mysterious ways. We don't always understand it. We don't always recognize God's voice. But we can't hear it if we don't stop and listen. So I invite you now to take this time and be in prayer. And I invite you to sit where you are and bow your head, or I invite you to come forward to our rail to be with one of our prayer partners. And I invite you to pray and to listen to God speaking to your heart. Because today, through you, God can do amazing things. Stop making excuses where God can make a way. Be you. Be God's. And be Riverside.